So I'm Bernie Borges, and I run a digital agency called Find and Convert, and I also have a podcast or a media channel with a podcast called Social Business Engine. And so today's session, this session is about podcasting and how you can use it to in your brand storytelling. So before I actually get into my presentation, I want to give you the opportunity, if you so desire, to download my slides. Now, my slides, of course, are going to be available from the link that's being provided by Social Media Strategy Summit. If you want to download my slides now, you can take notes on them. It's totally up to you. Just go to that page, and when you get to that landing page, it'll just be a one click, and it'll download automatically, and then you can take notes in my slide deck while I'm running through the session here. All right. So what I want to talk about is podcasting. But first, let me kind of get a little bit of a feel for your experience with podcasting. How many of you currently have a podcast? Anybody have a podcast? One of you? You? Two? Yep. Okay, cool. How many of you are from corporate, the brand side? Okay, a couple of you. And then the others are from an agency or slash consultancy side. Okay. How many of you listen to podcasts on a regular basis? Okay, about half of you. All right, cool. So, not knowing who's going to be here and what your experience level is, I had to really develop this presentation to cover the spectrum. So some of the content I may skip through just depending on how I feel, your body language. If you're looking at me like I know that stuff, then I may fly through it a little faster. So I'm going to talk about what is a podcast, why podcasting strategy, or why podcast, strategy and format, tools, gears, logistics, promotion, and then, of course, how do you measure the effectiveness of a podcast strategy. So what is a podcast? I see a lot of websites that throw a link to an audio file where you can click and listen to something, and they call it a podcast. And unless that is a show that you can actually subscribe to, it's not a podcast. It's just an audio replay of something. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but from a terminology standpoint, a podcast is a show, and you subscribe to it. It is available through subscription, through an RSS subscription. And you generally access it, the most popular place to access podcasts are on iTunes, but then there's other places, and one of the other popular places is Stitcher. The significance of Stitcher is that if your mobile device is not an Apple iPhone, then Stitcher is the app that you can use because it's agnostic and you can listen, you can subscribe to any and every podcast on Stitcher. And by the way, Stitcher has its tagline is smart radio. It's really on-demand radio. So they have content all over the spectrum. I mean, you name a topic and you can listen to it on Stitcher. So why would any company, why would any brand or even an independent or a consultant podcast? Well, the simple answer is podcasting is content. And as such, it can be part of your content marketing strategy. That's the most simple answer. So if you think about how content is really, really, or a podcast content is really easy for people to consume. In fact, most people consume podcast content while they're doing a physical activity of some sort that doesn't require them to be thinking, like writing or working in a spreadsheet, right? So if you're a coder, you're writing code, you probably listen to music, not podcasts, because in a podcast, you're listening to people talking. But on the other hand, if you're driving in the car, or if you're jogging, or like myself, when I go to the gym, even sometimes when I'm doing yard work at home, I've got my earbuds in and I'm listening to podcasts, because when I'm trimming the hedges, I don't need to be thinking that hard. In fact, I can concentrate on what I'm listening to in the podcast. So Edison Research, there is an Edelman out there, and I confused them for just a moment. Edison Research puts out an annual research report on podcasting. And there's a link to it in my slides, so I would encourage you to look through it if you really want to dive deeper into this whole topic. And there's a couple of data points. There's actually several data points that they share that are really significant. These two I wanted to share with you, and that is that 33% of Americans have listened to a podcast at least once. But here's the big one. 17% of Americans have listened in the last month. Now, let me do the math for you. That is more than 50 million people. Okay, that's more than 50 million people that have listened to Americans that have listened to a podcast in the last month. Now, we all serve a niche audience, so I'm not saying that we all need to target those 50 million people, right? But it's a nice base from which you can find the audience you need to find. Here's another data point from the Edison Research. Podcast listeners are more likely to follow and be loyal to brands that they come across either directly or indirectly in podcasts. So once again, as a brand, whether you're on the corporate side or you're on the consultancy side, knowing that podcast content has the ability, and the data proves it, to develop brand loyalty is another motivating factor to consider podcasting. So why would you podcast? What are some of the goals that you might consider in launching a podcast? Well, these are just four goals. You can think of perhaps your own goal. One might be thought leadership. So maybe a brand wants to take some of their leaders, some of their thought leaders, and put them on display by giving them their own podcast show on a specific topic. Another one is just building brand awareness about your specific brand. It's a great way to do that through podcast content. Another one is lead generation. Podcast content, again, it's content, right? So within content, you can have calls to actions, and consequently, through calls to actions, you can generate leads. And then the last one is kind of one of my favorite ones, and that is if you're a brand or an agency and you're launching something new, a new initiative, then consider launching a podcast around that new initiative, as long as you plan to do that with sustained episodes. In other words, you know, you don't want to just do it for 10 episodes and then fade and go away, because then you don't really have a lot of credibility associated with that. Think of a podcast as a show. And even though in show business and television, shows do eventually sometimes get canceled, right, at a certain point in their lifetime, but a show is something you expect to turn on every Thursday at 8 o'clock, or you can record it and, you know, listen to or watch it anytime you want, because it's always going to be there once a week. In this case, I'm referring to a television show. But a podcast show is the same thing. So when people are listening to podcast content, they're generally focused on niche content. So I haven't come across, not that I've listened to every single podcast out there, because that's far from reality, right? But generally speaking, as both a podcaster and also a podcast listener, I haven't really come across too many podcasts that are really, really broad. Every podcast that I've ever seen has been around a very, very specific topic. So people listen to podcast content to really hone in on a niche piece of content or topic. They're focused right there in the moment. That is really, really a cool thing about it. In fact, the next point about how it's intimate, podcast listeners are being intimate. There's a one-to-one commitment between the listener and the podcaster. There's a lot of podcasters that I've listened to that I feel like I know them. Now, they don't know me. Oh, here we go again. So the podcaster doesn't know me, right? Because I'm one of many listeners. But because a podcaster, a good podcaster, you're really going to get a sense for who they are. You're going to get to know their personality. You're going to learn something about them and the topic that they're sharing with you, right? And so it's a really intimate relationship, especially since in most cases, not all, but in many cases, people are listening through earbuds. And there is something that is different about listening to audio content in earbuds as opposed to, you know, just through your car radio or just, you know, just turning it on, you know, or clicking the play button on your desktop computer. And it really is kind of a private chat. And I want to point out what I'm saying here about both external and internal. There's a growing trend, and I'd like to see more of it. And Ken, this might be something for you. I'd like to see more brands do podcasts that are aimed at their employees. So when I say external or internal, external is obvious, right? Anybody in the world can subscribe to a podcast. There's no barrier there, right? But an internal podcast might be something that's put on maybe an intranet kind of a thing, a shared resource that people can download and listen to a mobile device. And it might be something that is content that is exclusively provided for employees within a brand. Okay? I'm starting to see a little bit of that. I'd like to see more of that. One of the things that I love about podcast content is that you can repurpose it, right? It's just what we do in any content marketing strategy. So, for example, for every podcast episode that we publish on our podcast, we always write at least one, I'm calling it a blog post, but I also want to use synonymously articles, whether it's a blog post or an article. We're going to write at least one blog post, and we're also going to write at least one unique, distinct article that we're going to submit to a third-party online publication for them to publish. A good example is we've had several of our podcast episodes, excerpts of them published on the Social Media Strategies blog, right? And others. There's other blogs out there like Relevance, for example, and Social Media Today, where we're building relationships. I'm referring to my podcast in particular, but we're building relationships where we can submit an article to them and the content is an excerpt out of that podcast recording. So for us, I do a 30-minute recording. So in that 30 minutes, there's a lot of content there, right? So we can take one or two key points out of that episode, write an article about it, and then submit it to third-party publications. Show notes. Every podcast episode that we publish has a show notes page. Show notes is kind of like a blog post, but it's basically a summary of what we discussed. So one of the things that, you know, I always say for every episode, I always remind my listeners that, you know, everything we discuss here today is going to be summarized in our show notes page. Anything that we may have mentioned that's available online is going to be linked up in our show notes page. And I remind my listeners, I kind of tell them, you know, so if you're out and about right now, because I'm really speaking to that listener that is mobile, jogging at the gym or whatever, they're not sitting in front of their desktop. That thing we just mentioned, that reference we just mentioned, don't worry about it. You don't have to try to write it down while you're driving or something like that. It's linked up in our show notes page. So you kind of train your listeners to know that. Slide share. Sometimes, not every time, sometimes we'll take a podcast episode and we will create slides that tell that story and put it up on SlideShare. It's just another way to repurpose that content on SlideShare, and then we link from the SlideShare back over to the podcast as well with a call to action to, hey, go visit the podcast, subscribe to it, that sort of thing. We also create images. Now, there's two types of images, and for now, I'm going to share with you one specific type. And what I'm referring to is we create images that are quotes from the podcast episode. So what I'm basically doing is we're taking little quotes, excerpts from my guest on the podcast, and then we create these images, and then we use these images in social as a way to share and promote, you know, what that podcast episode was about. And of course, the people who were on the episode with me, they like seeing that. You know, it's something that's desirable on their part. All right, so one of the other benefits to the podcast content is that you can drive conversions. So while as a podcaster, we all care about our downloads, how many people are downloading our podcast. So, but think beyond downloads. It's not just about downloads. You can also put calls to actions within your podcast and then track click-throughs to that call to action. You can develop a purchase path where if you have something specifically that you're selling, you can take them to a specific page that is only a page that you drive people to from your podcast. And then from that page, if there's a purchase path or any kind of a nurturing path that you develop, then you can measure the effectiveness of that, because the only way for people to get to that page is by them responding to your podcast. So that's another way to drive conversions. Of course, you can just drive traffic to your website. You can always just say, and for more information on this topic, visit our website. And, you know, compare to other sources of traffic that are coming to your website. Anything that you can download and you can measure is available as a conversion from a podcast. If you have sales or products that you sell, just create a unique URL. You can include that in your podcast. And then the last thing on this slide here that I love is that podcast content is evergreen content. We get downloads and we get click-throughs on calls to actions from podcasts that were published a year ago. And unless the content a year ago is no longer relevant, it's evergreen content. It's out there. It lives on iTunes. The show notes are on our website. So it's just evergreen content. And if you're a really good social media marketer, you are occasionally going back in time to that content and you're bringing it back into your promotional efforts anyway, right? If it's evergreen content, you should be doing that as a practice anyway. Go back to that older content. It's only older by chronology it's not necessarily older in terms of its relevance and meaning, unless, you know, that's obviously something unique to your content, right? But if it's still relevant, then by all means, keep it in your promotional mix. All right, I want to talk a little bit about some of the formats that are available. First and foremost, Marketing 101, identify who's the target that you want to reach. And while this is a 101 topic, it's an important one. I've seen some podcasters overlook this because they have a passion about a topic and they didn't really sit down and think about, well, who's our target audience? And then choose topics that engage them. So if, you know, if you're a technology company of some sort, identify the audience and then pick topics that are really important to those audiences. And then think about creating one or more shows. Doesn't have to be just one show, right? If you're a bigger brand, you can have multiple shows. And pick a topic that is going to be engaging to them. But make sure the topic is something that is really, really of interest to them and not something that's just self-serving. It's got to be educational content. I don't know how to get rid of this guy, so I'm just going to keep clicking cancel every time he comes up. All right, let's look at show formats. The most common format of a podcast is the interview format. So, for example, the first one is one guest. That's my format. So I interview a guest for 20 to 30 minutes. Usually it's around 30 minutes. That's a very common format. The other format that's not so popular, but I've seen it, is a panel format. And a panel format is where you have one host of the podcast, and he or she is actually kind of on a call, a conference call, if you will, and interviewing multiple people. Now, actually, Jessica and I were talking earlier about how Blab is a platform where you can record, which is video, but you can take the audio from that. So on a Blab, you've got four people, right? And so that's kind of the panel format here. So you can have up to four people. You don't have to have all four people. You can have less than four, but you can have up to four people. They can be the panel. You have your conversation on a specific topic, and then you record it, and now you've got a podcast episode. So the panel format, I think, with the advent of, you know, Blab and its popularity, or wild popularity, I think we're going to see more of that. The other one is just a two-person co-host format, and this is just where two people, the whole podcast show is two people talking to each other, and they are just interesting enough that people tune in and listen, and their topic is interesting enough that people tune in and listen, and it's just the same two people, and that's the show, that's the brand, that's, you know, that's the content. So that's another format. And then the other format is just a solo format. Now that one is, like, I wouldn't do that because I don't think I'm interesting enough or even, quite frankly, confident enough to just go solo on a podcast. But I've listened to podcasts where the person is dynamic and, you know, has something really interesting to say. And so the solo format is yet, you know, another option, right? But, you know, you want to make sure that you can pull that off if you're going to do that. All right, so what are some of the best practices in podcasting? Well, when I talk about branding, what I'm really saying is that every podcast should be branded. So it should have a name, and we'll show you a few examples here in a minute. It should have a name. It should be tied to some artwork. It should have its own standalone branding. It needs to be planned. The biggest reason that podcasters fail is because they dive right into it because it's easy. And it's easy because the recording technology has become easy. You know, years ago, recording technology was something that was more complex, and it was really something that only really, you know, audio experts did and people in radio did, and now it's easy. So some people dive in thinking, oh, this is easy. But it's like any content marketing, any marketing in general. It takes planning, and that planning takes work. So, for example, I mentioned here the calendar. You should create an editorial calendar. Now, I'm going to share with you as a little freebie at the end of this the editorial calendar that we use and the planning guide that we use, right? And that's just it's a template that you can download if that's something that interests you. Production. In most cases, podcasts take some production. Now, there are some podcasters that will record. They'll take that recording, and then they will publish that as is. And there's no right or wrong. You know, if you have good content and your audience is there listening to that. There's no right or wrong with that. But in most cases, there's some kind of editing that really is advisable and required. I know in my case, when I record, I always give my guest the option of, hey, if you want to do a question over again, that kind of thing, you know, we can do it over, and then, you know, we can edit that out in post-production, that kind of thing. So, and even in post-production, sometimes there's things you want to insert. It may be music, or it may be a certain, you know, promotional message. And the next item there is promotion. And I don't mean just within the podcast, but promoting the podcast. It's like any content, right? Content needs to be promoted. So again, another reason that podcasters sometimes fail is that they don't promote their podcast content, and they get disillusioned. They say, well, you know, I'm not getting a lot of downloads, I'm not getting sales, I'm not getting leads, and you know, I heard the best advice that I ever heard on podcasting is don't go into it expecting big results. Go into it to serve an audience. Go into it with a topic that is going to serve an audience. And if you do that well with your podcast and you do it consistently, then eventually, then good things can happen. You can create calls to actions. You can create opportunities, and doors can open for you. And then, of course, the last one is measurement. Measuring the impact through, yes, downloads, but also, as I mentioned earlier, click-throughs and traffic. From a branding standpoint, every show should have a title. The title should say something about what is the theme of that podcast, what's that podcast about. So, you know, the name of my show is Social Business Engine. So if I didn't say anything else and just said Social Business Engine, hopefully that gives you a little bit of an idea of what that's about, right? As opposed to, you know, Cat Tricks or something, and I'm totally making that up on the fly, right? Which is totally different, right? Every show should also have a description. So you've got the title, and then it should have a description. And that description is just like Google SEO, it's iTunes SEO. So that description needs to be within a certain amount of characters, and it's part of what iTunes is going to use to display and also return a result if someone's doing a search in iTunes for a specific topic. Every show should also have artwork, meaning from a branding standpoint, and I'm going to show you a few examples of that. But every show should have some kind of artwork, because in iTunes, if you look on podcasts, that's how they're displayed. They're displayed with the artwork. Now, that artwork sometimes includes the picture of the podcaster, which is fine, but it doesn't have to. Some do, some don't. That's just part of the artwork strategy. I recommend that every show create its own hashtag. So in our case, you can see our hashtag down here, SBE Show. So we use that hashtag when we share any podcast content. And then, of course, create social media header images, and I'm going to show you an example of that. And then you may consider having a dedicated website. Not a necessity. If you're a brand, you may just have a section of your corporate website called podcast, or call it whatever. It could be resources. And then there you can have a list of the podcast. You can have links to it. And then, of course, link to iTunes and Stitcher, so that you prove to the audience that it really is a podcast, not just an audio file that you're, you know, embedding on your website. So here's five examples of podcasts. Now, these are marketing podcasts. I heard that there's over 250,000 podcasts out there. It's a lot of podcasts. So really, just about any topic that you can listen to. I used to listen to podcasts from Ivy League schools. You know, the Stanfords and the Harvards, they have podcasts on a variety of topics. And it's just amazing. You can just plug into lectures from these universities, you know, and just listen to it in a podcast format. So online marketing made easy with Amy Porterfield. So online marketing made easy is her show title. Social media marketing is the name of the podcast. Host is Mike Stelzner. Yours truly in the middle, Social Business Engine, is the name of my podcast. And then the last two, Social Pros is the name of the podcast. That's the logo, and that's hosted by Jay Baer. He has a co-host also. And then the last one on the right is This Old Marketing with Polizzi and Rose. So, you know, they have their artwork. Again, there's many, many, many podcasts. You can just pick a topic. So in the world of social media, in the world of marketing, business, etc., just go into iTunes. Even a Google search is going to turn up podcasts. All right, let's talk a little bit about tools and gear. And I just first need to put a little disclaimer up here. I'm not a gearhead. I'm not an expert in all the gear that there is. I'm, you know, roughly 2 years into this journey. And while I've learned a few things, there are people, I went to a conference last July called Podcast Movement, 1,000 podcasters at this event. I felt like, I was going to say I felt like a newbie. There's a lot of people there that I met that were newbies, whereas I already had a podcast. Like, we publish our podcast every Wednesday. So today's Wednesday, right? So today we published episode 98, okay? Ken, I hope you don't mind my saying that. I interviewed Ken, and I'm publishing my interview, my podcast with Ken next week, and he's episode 99, right? So we're going to talk a little bit about gear, but I don't know everything there is to know. So especially when you get to Q&A, there might be an answer where I go, I don't know. All right, in terms of recording devices, because obviously it's audio, you're recording, right? So lots of options. You can record right from a smartphone and an app, okay? You can plug a microphone into it, and you can also use third-party software like, I keep looking over here, I know you're looking over there, and I'm pointing here. Boss Jock Studio, Spreaker for Android. So the point is, you can record on your mobile device and just, you know, download an app. And I think most of these apps are not free, but they're not expensive either. Now, the other option is you could use a microphone. Now, this is an example of a microphone that is really, really affordable. It's in the range of about $50 or $60. It happens to be an Audio-Technica. It's available anywhere, including Amazon, where you can buy just about anything in the world, right? So if you go to Amazon and you look for an Audio-Technica microphone, you'll see several models of it. This happens to be, I think, the 2100, and I think there's a few models, I think, that are a little bit newer than this. And as you can see, you know, it's a nice professional microphone. Audio quality on it is good, not excellent, but it's good. Okay, and then, you know, these little poppers here are put on just to try to prevent those pops, you know, that are very common in microphones. Now, you may have noticed I unplugged this. Another gear item is you can record straight into a recorder like this. In fact, this session is being, there's another version, it's not this particular model, but there's another recorder just like this one on the table over there. So this is a recorder that is used by professionals. A lot of musicians use this, as well as event people like this session here. As I mentioned, there's another, similar version of this over there. So right now, with these two microphones, Jessica, if you could take that, what I could do with Jessica is I could conduct an interview right here. Obviously, I'm going to turn it on, I'm going to press record, and then she and I can just talk into the microphone, and we're going to record this. And then the recording is on this little SD card, and I take this little SD card, and I pop it into my laptop, and I just pull in the file, and I've got my recording with Jessica. It's that simple. Now, if I didn't go, thank you, Jessica, for being a little prop there. If I didn't want to use this microphone, I could, you know, pull the microphone XLR cables out. There's a little stick that can screw into the back of this, and then I could just seat it on the table like this. And then these microphones right here are very powerful. I could sit down with someone, you know, within about 5 feet of each other, and we can have a conversation, and we can record the whole thing, this just sitting here. So this is good for mobile, being out and about. Like if I was to do a podcast recording here, this is how I would do it. Whereas normally, like Ken and I, we jumped on Skype, and you know, we pick a time and a place, and we jump on Skype, and I use a recording app on Skype called Pamela, and I just record that through Pamela on Skype, and then bring it into some editing software, which I'm gonna get into here in just a moment. The thing that I want to mention about Skype is that it's easy, but it's risky. And the reason it's risky is that sometimes, even though you click record, sometimes it doesn't record. And, you know, that's just technology, right? That's why some people, and I'm going to give you a little insight into where I am. Some people use a mixer board. So I recently purchased a mixer board. And the idea behind the mixer board now is I can also record into this simultaneously while I'm recording on Skype. And what that does is it's a fail-safe. I've got the recording here, and I've got it on Skype. But if the Skype recording fails, I've got it here on the SD card from this recording device. By the way, another thing that I can do with this is I can just, you know, come up to someone like this and just interview someone like that. So I can just, you know, ask a question and do that in the absence of having these microphones. Okay. Editing. As I mentioned, most podcasts take some post-production. And so there's lots of ways to do editing. And there's a few examples here. Camtasia is popular. Obviously, you can see there's a price tag to it. Audacity is free. It's available on Mac only. I'm sorry, Mac and Windows, and it's free. And then GarageBand is the one that's Mac only. And then there's another one on Mac called AudioJack, and that's $49. There's probably others out there. These are just some of the well-known ones, and just to give you a few examples. The idea behind editing is that there are occasionally, as I mentioned earlier, sometimes there's a do-over in the middle of a recording. You know, sometimes I've interviewed guests where they lock themselves in a conference room, and then someone walks into the conference room and asks, you know, like, you know, just interrupts, you know, and so we have to kind of, you know, they politely say, well, I'm in the middle of this podcast recording, and then we get back to it, and so that little part of it has to get edited out. You know, it's just stuff like that that has to get edited out. All right, a little bit of the logistics. I mentioned earlier that a podcast show really does require some planning. So here are three types of tools that you can consider. They're not the only tools, but you can use something like Google Drive. And again, I'm going to share with you our planning guide, which we use on Google. And then two popular SaaS, you know, web-based apps that are available to use for a lot of different reasons, and you can use them for this planning as well, would be Trello, Teamwork, Basecamp is another one. I mean, there's lots of tools out there that are good collaboration and planning and project management. Always just consider that every podcast episode takes some planning. You know, you can't just show up. And I mean, I'm not saying you can't. If you just show up and you're not prepared for an interview with a guest, if you're interviewing a guest, there's some risk involved. Okay, most guests want to see that, you know, you're prepared, you know something about them, and you know something about their expertise, and, you know, you've done your homework. So every episode, in my opinion, really does take some preparing, things like research, that kind of thing. Also, if you're interviewing a guest, prepare their bio in advance, run it by them, and just say, is this correct? Oh, I just want to make sure this is correct. Because once that episode is published, you know, imagine if you published it and you got their bio wrong. You know, now all of a sudden, what was a good interview might be soured a little bit if you got the bio wrong. There's an intro and an outro. So, for example, in my podcast, I have a pretty scripted introduction that's pretty much the same every time because my message is there. And I want that message to be reinforced every time. But I also want that message to be there. If you're a first-time listener, I mean, okay, so today we published episode 98. And if that's the first episode you ever listened to, well, I still want you to know what my messaging is, so I'm going to repeat that as my intro. And it's no different than any other show, right? Every other show that you watch or listen to, there's some kind of an introduction on the front end that is the message, the positioning message. Same thing on the back end. That's called the outro. At the end of the podcast, I like to have an outro. Once I finish the interview, I segue into the outro. And I'm typically... I'm promoting, you know, an ad spot, so that's the next item there. I'm promoting an ad spot, which was both in my intro and in my outro. I used to do an ad spot in the middle, and there are a lot of podcast shows that do that. Nothing wrong with that. I just changed it up, and I just did my ad spot in the intro. This episode is sponsored by, and then I complete the intro. And then in the outro, I remind this episode was sponsored by, and then I complete the outro. And then, as I said, you know, always be prepared. Never rush through a podcast. Your guests will know that. When launching a podcast, it's advisable to have at least 3 episodes recorded, preferably 5, before you actually publish it up into iTunes. The reason for that is that iTunes is like a Google from a search standpoint. In iTunes, when you upload 5 episodes, it tells iTunes that you're committed to this podcast, right? At least they see it that way. And so you have a much greater chance of showing up in their search results. You also have a much greater chance of being listed in what they call their new and noteworthy. So I don't know what the frequency is. I think it might be once a week, maybe once a month. They update their new and noteworthy podcasts. And if you just upload 1 episode, you're not going to, you know, make it past their gatekeepers. So you want to upload at least 5 episodes in order to qualify for new and noteworthy. Pre-announce, this is marketing 101 stuff, right? Pre-announce your podcast. Pre-announce it through all of your traditional digital and communication channels, newsletter, social media, etc. Promote your podcast a lot on social media. I mentioned earlier, use a hashtag. You know, introduce that hashtag and use that hashtag quite a bit. If you're a brand, you know, get employees involved, that kind of thing. And then consider having some kind of a giveaway. I'm talking about a launch strategy here. So think about a giveaway where you're promoting, you know, this new podcast, and maybe you can give away something, whatever it might be that's relevant to your brand, your messaging, and then have the call to action be in the first episode or the first 5 episodes or whatever it might be, just to kind of, you know, accelerate the acceptance of your launch. From a scheduling standpoint, while there really isn't a right or wrong, there are some best practices. Weekly is pretty common. Now, I can think of one podcast where the podcaster is wildly successful, and that's John Lee Dumas. He has a podcast called Entrepreneur on Fire. By the way, he recently had to change his name to EO Fire because Entrepreneur Magazine came after him with a cease and desist. Yeah, I just heard him say that on a podcast. So now he's changed it to EO Fire, even though it's Entrepreneur on Fire. Anyway, that's an aside. He publishes 7 days a week. So the guy sits down and he records a whole bunch of episodes, and then he's got them ready to go for 7 days a week. But 7 days a week. And I've listened to, I don't know, maybe he's well over 1,000 episodes. I probably listened to 100, 150, not one low-quality episode. I mean, terrific stuff. So for him to do that is amazing, and it's the exception. It's not the norm. So weekly is very common. There are some that do it less frequently, like maybe monthly. Whatever you do, stick to a schedule. That's the most important thing. Because basically, think about it. You're building an audience. You're building a listenership, and you just want to build a loyal audience, and they need to know what your frequency is, right? So whether you tell them that or you just publish, you know, like me, every Wednesday, just let your audience know so that you can build that loyalty and so that they'll consider you legit. Because if you're just publishing every couple of weeks, every 3 weeks, every 4 weeks, every 6 weeks, and then two weeks in a row, then your audience doesn't really understand what your podcast is about. So stick to the schedule and then use scheduling tools. I'm referencing one here. There's lots of them out there. If you Google scheduling tools, you'll find many of them. That's just the one that I use. I like it. That's not an affiliate link. There's lots of others out there. Find whatever works for you. Audio quality really, really matters in a podcast. So while I said you can record on something like this, and while the audio quality isn't going to be poor, it's not going to be as good as an XLR microphone. So audio quality does make a difference for your listenership, okay? If it's hard for them to hear you or your guests, then it doesn't create a great experience for them, and it reflects poorly on your brand. So make sure that, you know, your setting is quiet, you know, silence your phone. I mean, I do that. I put my, I make sure that, you know, I'm not going to get any calls on here. If I'm doing it in my office, I make sure I put my IP phone on Do Not Disturb, so that's not going to ring, you know, things like that. Turn off all notifications, and then make sure that your guest is prepared. If you're doing an interview format, make sure that you've prepared your guest in advance, you've briefed him or her on the format, you've briefed him or her on, you know, what you're expecting of them. Also, that you've briefed him or her on the the audio quality. Like, please either use a landline or a microphone, that kind of thing. And if they're going to be on a cell phone, test the quality of that cell phone. I literally had a recording scheduled once where the gentleman was on a cell phone and it was not a good connection. He just sounded really far, far away. And I just said, sorry, let's reschedule when, you know, you can be on a different device, because it's just not going to turn out good. Podcast content needs to be hosted. So from a hosting standpoint, these are a few options. These are some of the more popular ones. Blueberry, and yes, that's how it's spelled. Libsyn, that's what I use. That's why you see the logo there. Libsyn is probably the leader in this category, very popular. Spreaker, SoundCloud, Buzzsprout. What they all do is you upload it I'm going to talk about Libsyn. So I upload it into Libsyn, and then it pushes it out to iTunes, Stitcher, and also SoundCloud. So I don't have to upload to iTunes. I just upload it into Libsyn. It's hosted there, and then it pushes it out. Okay. Libsyn also provides analytics information as well. Transcription tools. If you want to transcribe your podcast, then find a transcription tool. That's an example of one. It's the one that we use as well. Again, same thing, like I said earlier, you can Google transcription tools and find lots of them. But that's if you want to transcribe your podcast. All right, how do you promote your podcast? Consider some of the traditional SEO best practices, things like titles and descriptions and keywords and that sort of thing. So it's you know, the text version of how you're sharing it, the show notes, is you know, rich and helpful content. Make the headline of every episode relevant. And if you're not going to make it relevant for SEO, then make it catchy and like attention grabbing. So either go for the audience, you know, in terms of grabbing attention, or go for the SEO. If you add a transcript for each episode, on your website, that's good for SEO as well. It helps be discovered. Distribute your podcast content across all social media channels, kind of, you know, the obvious. Create custom images for each episode. I'll show you an example of that. We create a short link for every episode so we can see which episodes are performing, you know, well and, you know, which ones not so well. We mix up all of our posts and how we promote those across the different social networks. And then, of course, we have our weekly newsletter, and then we send it out once a week with our newsletter. We include the images. And then also ask for reviews. I learned that lesson the hard way. I would look at iTunes and I'd see that I had very few reviews. And what I saw a lot of other podcasters do is asking for reviews. And then it dawned on me, well, I guess I need to do the same. So don't hesitate to ask people for reviews. So here's an example of images. For every episode that we create three sizes of the same image. So on the top, you see one where they all have the same thing in common from a branding standpoint. Our logo is at the top left. Then we have a nice big picture of our guest. And then we have, you know, the word podcast, because on our website we also have videos and we have journals. So the word podcast is there to distinguish between the type of content that it is. We have the name of the person's title, and then the title of the episode for that episode. Three different image sizes. The one on the bottom is typically used in an email signature. And then the other two are used in social media, different sizes like Twitter, Facebook, that sort of thing. So it's a really good way, and of course we provide that to our guests, and our guests, you know, use it in their own promotion as well. Monitor the feedback that you get. You know, I mentioned hashtag, at mentions, what kind of comments are you getting, iTunes reviews. And then from a promotion standpoint, on every episode you can promote whatever it is you want to promote. I mentioned how I've got a sponsor, so in the intro I promote the sponsor. I do the same thing on the outro. You can have just a commercial message. Again, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of podcasts have a commercial message in the middle. And then sometimes you can have a co-host, and the co-host can be part of the promotional message, right? So the co-host can be from another brand, and that can be just part of the promotion as well. Audience takes time to build, and this is also something that I learned the hard way. It just doesn't happen, you know. One of my favorite expressions, you know, I'm a 10-year overnight success. You know, it just doesn't happen overnight unless you're already a celebrity, you know. So if you're a brand or on the agency side and you're launching a podcast, just as I said earlier, focus on great content that serves an audience and be consistent and consider audio quality, and eventually through promotion, you'll build an audience. They really need to know that you're legitimate with your podcast, that you're there for the long haul. Most podcasters, I heard a stat, 90% of podcasters don't get beyond 10 episodes. And the reason is because it takes some work. While it's easy to record, the overall strategy for a podcast to be successful takes some planning and some effort. So you have to be consistent. As I mentioned earlier, audio quality really counts. Metrics, downloads, traffic to your website, to the extent that you're converting from the calls to actions that you have in your podcast. Sometimes new opportunities come available. I mean, speaking for myself, last year IBM invited me into their Futurist program. And I know that my podcast was one of the ways that they discovered me and one of the qualifying factors in getting that invitation. So it can just be new opportunities as a metric. And then also if you're a brand, thought leadership, even not a brand, right? Anybody, just creating thought leadership through your podcast is another way to measure outcome. Okay, so now before I wrap up, because I'm really at the end, I've got a freebie that I want to make available to you. So this is a little snapshot of our planning guide. We call it scheduling, but it's planning and scheduling. This shows all of our podcasts and which social media sites we're publishing to. It also has several sheets that shows what publications we're publishing to. And then the document on the right is a preparation guide. So Ken, that should be familiar to you because I send it out to my guests in advance and it explains the show, the recording, what's expected of the guests, what we're asking of them to do. And I've had a number of guests say, hey, that was great, thank you. It really, you know, made it easy for me. It kind of, you know, painted the whole picture for me of what I need to know. So if you want either of those two, you can just click on that link there, just findaconvert.com/SMSS-2016, and you can grab those freebies and kind of get a jump start. And with that, here's my contact information if you'd like any more insight. And then if I may, just give a shameless plug for my podcast, Social Business Engine. As the title implies, we talk about brands that are doing social business. So I don't know if you were in the room earlier for the speaker before me, Stephanie from Cisco. I don't know how many of you were in the room, but Stephanie from Cisco talked about what they're doing at Cisco in their brand journalism program. And I had her boss on my podcast back in December. So I knew everything she talked about because, I mean, I knew the story, like what they're doing, right? So it's just a really cool way for us to kind of showcase brands and what they're doing on social. So that was a little bit of a fire hose. I'm out of time, but I'm not going anywhere. So I'm happy to, you know, chat, and I'm going to go to lunch now with the rest of you. If you have any questions, comments, anything, happy to chat. But I am out of time, so we'll wrap it here, and then we can talk as you'd like to. So I hope this was useful to you. Thanks.